Welcome. Thanks for being here. We have a very full show for you today. Going to be a lot of fun. I think I'm going to put on a little music, see if you recognize it, and then bring in my first guests, who should be familiar to most of you.
I stand atop a desert stone, casting glances toward the moon. I feel the tearing, gnawing burn of a distant gaze. Darkness covers me in the night, broken only by the moon's light. I feel the glint of warming, soothing glance from a distant gaze. Feel my inside scream. I'm torn from scene to scene. I'm drowning inside my dream. The moon reaches out for me. I look beyond the desolate landscape, beyond the mountains and shadows they make, into a sea of Joshua trees.
Haven't guessed it yet. That is Midas Diggs, and I wish you were here with me to see how deep Midas is digging right now. They are dancing with their spirits, their arms, their faces. I won't let them out of the chairs, so there is right here. This is meditation movement. I just took a class in that. Actually,
did you?
I did. It was quite wonderful. So that was the piped in of Derek Moore, who is the inspiration for this band, the writer. And in this song that you just heard, the singer. And probably he will be the same for all the songs. However, in the new version, which we are all so excited to hear this Sunday evening at the Fort George at the 8 o'clock time, a CD release party. Derek, when did you finish this CD, Derek?
Yesterday.
Oh,
just
hot off the presses.
About a year and a half ago. Right. It was June of 2017.
Right.
But I did not have a band to play it.
I love that.
Yet. That's so it was a matter of some long hoping, wishing, searching.
Manifesting.
How did you manifest this? I was going to say suck these people in, but manifest is even better. And that was the voice of Celeste Olivares.
Hello.
Who is one of the members of the band who's going to, who's going to get, yeah, there we go.
Come closer.
Yes. And Celeste, how long have you been singing with this group? How long has this group been a group?
Derek and I started rehearsing his material sometime in May, because we were rehearsing for Pride at the time.
Ah, okay.
And then I did a show that Joshua Conklin, a.k.a. Ginger Vitus.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Who is well-beloved drag queen in town, curated a show at the beginning of May. And Derek came out, and I just told him, I was like, well, you guys should come. Mm-hmm. Check it out if you want. I'm singing a number. And he came, and I had kind of put the bug in his ear to say, like, hey, are you still looking for a backup singer? And goes, yeah, I'm always open to playing with as many people as possible. I'm like, great. I'm like, well, come to this show. Like, we're doing this Pride gig, but yeah, I'm singing a number. And then he's like, so I know we're working for Pride, but, you know, do you want to start working on my music? And I was like, high five, yes. Deleted expletive, yes.
Wonderful. Well, the fun part about Celeste is that many of us know her as one half of the Tango Twins.
Indeed.
And she's a gorgeous dancer, along with her sister Estelle.
Thank you.
Those two names are almost exactly the same, so don't worry if you kind of mix them up. But who knew that you sang? So this is so exciting.
It's fun.
And the other person here in the room with us is none other than the magician of KMUN, and that would be Graham Nystrom. Hi, Graham.
I have a magic trick for you today.
It's a good thing because Graham is tasked with keeping us on the air, and that is sometimes magic, and we appreciate every single minute of it, and I know our listeners do too. But again, who knew you did music? Some of us did, but what's
it's on my bio on the website, Carol.
How could
After
I have
a failed
missed
career
it?
As a musician, he went on to work in radio.
I see. Oh, no. We're glad you did. Not fail.
I'm a high-end hobbyist now.
I see. Yeah. What are you going to be doing with Midas Diggs?
I have the great fortune of playing the awesome songs that Derek writes. He often writes a rhythm and a lead, and so I get to play the lead guitar. Ooh. For the most part.
Oh.
And so
that's quite a responsibility.
Graham's very talented.
Reconnecting really with my good. Inner shredder.
Well,
inner shredder.
The outer shredding is being done right here on site.
And not just lead guitar, but he's multi-talented. So I had that's a right. keyboard parts too, and he just slides over and plays the keyboard and then quickly runs back to the
cool.
guitar.
That's great. Well, this is a man after your own heart, isn't he, Derek?
Yes.
Because Derek surprised a lot of us one day. It was after the play, we had the cast party at
Hitchin.
Derek's house. The play was Hitchin, which was written by Ned Heavenrich, and music by Brownsmead Flats. And we all went to the cast party, and we were just going to hang out. And then Derek sat down at the piano and started banging away on the piano. And we went, oh, my God.
Did you play Feeling Good?
Yes.
Oh, it's so good.
And then the guitar. And it's been nonstop ever since. I can't even remember. But this is exciting because is this your first album? Your first
Yeah, year? I mean, I've recorded three other albums on very, very terrible recording equipment, and we're anything from 20 to 10 years ago, and never did anything with them because they just weren't very good. But it was fun to record them, and I learned a lot. But this one I actually did with Dave Gager at Bent Rabbit Studios, and I was intent on making it very professional.
It sounds professional, sounds terrific. But what's kind of special about Sunday night is there are actually more people than Derek Moore. More who are going to be singing the songs of Midas Diggs, including my guests, Graham and Celeste. And the other two are also, at least one of them, another dancer / singer is Andrea Mazzarelli. And then Mike Morrow.
Morrow.
Don't know him. What's he doing? Where'd you find him?
He's a surveyor. He's local in town. He's been here about as long as I have, 10 years. He's been drumming with me for at least the last 4 or 5 years.
Oh, okay.
So he was with my original Midas Diggs band with Jordan and Brandon. And so he's always been around, and he's on the album, too.
Okay. So he's the other person.
He's the other person. He's the other person on the album. But, you know, we had guests come in. We had Luke and Andrea sang some backups. Sonny Hazel did some backups. Lauren Jacobson played violin. It's a, a few people from Portland came and did some stuff. Oh, so, wow. You know, they were guest musicians.
Okay.
But
So can you just give us, because we played one song, so a part of one song, I'll finish it out, but what kind of music are you playing these days on the album, but also what's going to happen
Sunday? We're going to play most of that album, and then a few new songs I've been writing, and then probably a couple fun ones that we just wanted to throw in for fun of it, which people will recognize, I'm sure. But
did you say will or won't?
Will recognize.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I call it rock and roll or rock music just because half of it, at least, maybe a little more than half, is really upbeat, electric guitars, drums, the whole thing danceable. And another half is sort of acoustic, melodic,
folky
sort of. But
why are you making a face when you say folky?
Folky.
I say folky.
Because
yes!
When you say folky, I don't know. Yeah, so it's a mix of things, and I think I personally like that kind of thing when I see a show. Mm. Not everything sounds the same.
I agree.
I like there to be some diversity of sound. But also, so the great thing is that we're working on new music, and three of the songs we're going to play are stuff that I brought to the band and said, here's a new song. What do you want to do with it? So we've already started that process of co-creating.
Nice.
Which the next album that we're going to do will be all of us. Which I'm really excited about.
Which means you won't have to wait a year and a half to have the CD release party.
Well, no. we'll be able to record it much faster. Also because Graham has opened.
There may or may not be a recording studio in Astoria's future.
Thank you. We know how it is around here. You don't want to make any promises.
That's right.
You know, surprises are always good. So, Graham, when was the last time you played with a band? I mean, I've heard you play solo at Kala one time.
Yeah, that's a good question. I suppose the last time I was in a band was probably in the late 2000s.
So 10-ish,
yeah,
but nine, some, 10
the
years.
Late to the late aughts.
Is that what we're the late aughts,
yeah.
Well, you ought to have done
so it's been
it
a while,
sooner.
You know, and it's great. You know, it's hard being in a band. It's hard. Everybody's so busy nowadays. It's hard to get a group of people together on a consistent basis week after week. And I've noticed that it either works or it doesn't, you know. And so this has worked, and it's worked out great, and it's been a lot of fun. And Andrea and Mike that aren't here, I just want to say how great they both are and what a pleasure it is to play with all this entire group. You know, it's very,
really fun.
Very musically satisfying for everybody, I think.
Nice. When I saw the photo on the flyer, I had no idea who was playing with Derek.
I know these people.
You know, I went, oh, my God. As I say, Mike was the only one, and I'm looking forward to hearing him as well.
He's a really fun drummer.
Be sure to be there this Sunday if you're anywhere nearby or can get nearby. By Sunday, you got the whole weekend. It's at Fort George Public House and Brewery, which is on Duane between 14th and 15th in Astoria. South Side. Midas Diggs will take the stage 8 p.m. Usually play till about 10.
Yep.
And then the neighbors start to, you know. So Midas Diggs again is Derek Moore, Celeste Oliveris, Andrea Mazzarelli, Mike Morrow, and Graham Nystrom. What else do people need to know?
Get ready to have fun.
It's free. Bring
your dancing
shoes.
We have a lot of fun playing it, so I think it's going to be fun just because it's fun.
And with two dancers in the band, you can bet your sweet bippy. You're a dancer too, aren't you, Graham?
Three dancers for sure.
Might be some interpretive dancing.
They brought it to my attention that the songs I write, for some reason, lend themselves to interpretive dance.
And that's where we came in, folks. You wouldn't have believed what was going on in the studio.
Little did I know.
It's beautiful.
It's hard to sing. I have to close my eyes when they're doing it.
It's very distracting.
It's quite easy to laugh at myself.
Well, you know, part of the whole thing is you guys are having a good time making good music and handing it out to the community, and that's terrific. So congratulations, Mazel Tov, to the whole group.
Huzzah!
And Sunday evening, 8 p.m., be there at the Fort George.
Thanks, Carol.
Thanks, folks.
Thank you, Carol.
Let's hear a little more of the song, and that is Desert Moon from Midas Diggs. Oh, yeah. Tell me what you see. Well, if you go to the Fort George Sunday night, you'll see Midas Diggs. On the other hand, if you are here on Saturday night, if you are in Astoria, you can take part in Astoria Art Walk, because it is, after all, the second Saturday, and that's when it happens every month. So, I have a couple of artists from two different galleries or art shows, and I'm going to start out with Megan Hanauer Sprague. Is that, no, Sprague?
There's no Sprague.
There's, we got rid of that one. Gee whiz.
Phew, that worked out well.
I messed up on all the names. She has 14 names, and I went through.
It's exhausting.
No. But I was wrong on all three of them. So, okay, we have Megan Hanauer. And Megan, how do you spell Hanauer now that I've got the
it's
Megan?
H-A-N-O-U-R.
H-A-N-O-U-R is pronounced Hanauer.
Yeah.
And Megan has an H and two N's.
Yeah.
So be sure to find her. And here's where. There is a gorgeous, voluptuous painting. I don't know if you can you use the word voluptuous that way.
You
why
just
not?
Did.
I
yeah,
did,
you
but
did.
I think it's the fabric. It's luscious and it's delicious, and it is right in the front window of Imogen Gallery on the corner of 11th and Marine Drive in Astoria. Beautiful piece, and. Okay. I understand this is part of a series. Is that correct?
out?
This one is not actually.
Okay.
It was just for this show, but I am working on a side series.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, the piece I saw before of yours.
At the portrait show last year, or?
And also that you were working on when you were an AVA artist in residence.
Mm-hmm.
The one that took up the entire room.
Oh, that was on the wall?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about yourself, because it's phenomenal, folks. My words fail me. I should have pulled up Terry's press release, then I could read them to you. But I'm going to instead let Megan tell us a little bit about herself. What's your art background, for example?
Why are you shaking your head?
You can be honest. Go on.
I'm mostly self-taught. I've had a little bit of figure drawing class out of high school. But I was a stay-at-home mom for 13 years, and so I would just paint when my kids were sleeping and when they were playing and things like that, because I loved it.
And what kind of drawing painting are you doing? What genre are you using?
So I'm using acrylic. I start with the fabrics, and most of the paintings are garments I've created. And then do a modeling photo shoot, work from photos. That just works out best for my lifestyle right now.
Okay, let me go back a second.
Okay.
Are you talking about creating the fabrics, the costumes? I don't
create the fabrics themselves. That would be fun.
Yeah. The clothing.
The clothing.
So you actually, these are not from your imagination. Well, the original ones.
Right.
You created a piece, a garment.
Right.
I see. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wondered how you got such incredible detail. But what inspires you? Where did you come to doing that?
Well, when I started to decide what I wanted to paint, I, you know, was kind of look through ideas online, and I didn't want to take anyone else's images to paint from. And I wanted to decide the lines I wanted to use before I got to the paint. Mm-hmm. And that seemed to give me that kind of atmosphere and control that I could use once I started painting, is to create the lines in the garments first.
So did you have to teach yourself how to create garments first?
Yeah, well, my mom had a sewing machine when I was a little girl, and she was like, go play on it. So I did, and it was extremely frustrating, and I actually don't like sewing. I don't enjoy it at all.
You did the spindle and all that kind of stuff.
I know, it's amazing.
Right? But that gives you patience, because you have to sit there and do that.
Yeah.
So how, I was going to ask, how far back does it go? We go from the painting to the fabric?
Just as a kid, my mom taught me to hand sew. She did teach me that.
Okay.
So then I would do that. And she used to sew some things for me, and then I just kind of hopped on her machine.
So when you're doing the garments, are they full size? You said you have modeled, so you create them so they can be worn.
Right. And they don't have to be anything that's fully finished, right?
I
see. It's just for a photo.
Right.
So I can save time. But, yeah.
Do you ever wear clothing that you have created?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
I suspect that's much.
Yeah.
I think meeting Megan is quite a treat to begin with. Again, the first time I saw you was in the workshop.
Yeah.
And then the next time I saw you, I think, was at Carruthers.
Right.
And I had no idea that was the same human being. But right now, I see the coming together of these parts. So, so is what part does the art making hold in your life?
Well, it's just kind of who I am. I love it. It's something that I do because I love.
And the rest of your life?
I'm a mom. I work at Carruthers. Do life things. But I try and always keep the art going in my life.
But is this do you do other subject matter as well
besides women? This series that I'm working on is actually about that. It's usually in most of my paintings, I've had most of them like a black background if you look at them. And this series is about creating an atmosphere for the women to be in rather than just having a solid black background and seeing how that affects the person. I've seen how atmosphere can affect a person, and so I want to place these figures in an atmosphere. And it also incorporates animals.
Oh,
some animals. Uh-huh. So this series is five paintings, and it'll be about 100 feet in paintings when it's done.
Okay, that's going to be the next challenge. Yeah. Is where are we going to
so
see these?
Started that, and started at four paintings, and then I added another. So started with like four seasons, but there's an extra one in there.
Nice. Yeah. Well, I'm just fascinated with all of the detail in the garments, and you also have a rope going. Yeah. Through this. Is that symbolic or just the textural or what?
And there's a lot of different symbolisms in the rope. Hope is one of the things that I think of. Also, this is kind of weird, but it symbolizes also an umbilical cord.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the healthiest place to cut when all the blood is drained out. That's kind of what that is about. But it is mostly hope.
That's an interesting combination, the hope and the cutting of the umbilical cord. So,
yeah. At birth.
Yeah, yeah. And then moving ahead.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to your moving, all of the movement. But right now, folks, whether or not you can get to the opening, and that's what I should have started with. Tomorrow, well, I did mention at Astoria Art Walk, second Saturday, from 5 to 7 or 8, actually. Five to 8. And whether or not you can make it tomorrow evening to Astoria, the great news is that any time of day or night, you can see Megan's extraordinary piece. What is the name of the piece?
Silver. I forgot for a second.
Because it is in the window, right? In the front window.
Yeah.
And I was actually sitting across the street at Astoria Coffee House, you know, and I got closer and closer, zoomed in on it, and was delighted to see that that was, but it's a large piece and it's glorious. So catch that tomorrow evening. Now, this, Megan, is part of a three-person show. It's called Facing You, and it is Imogen Gallery's annual portrait show. And the artists this time, one is quite familiar to many of us, Reed Clark from Portland. We've seen his work before. He does extraordinary work. He apparently has switched over to acrylic and is, it's mentioned he works in many, many layers. I think you'll enjoy his work. I've always enjoyed his work, but this time there was something different about it. I didn't realize what it was until Terry. Thank you, Terry Sund, who mentioned it. And then there's a new artist, Ruth Shively, who's done some small portraits, which works with reeds, but she's faces, but she's also done a piece called Land of the Free. And it has an American Indian, I would say, a very strong, stark image with some red, white, and blue. And it's mixed medium, Ruth Shively. And she has got also women. This is quite, I think Reed mixes it up, but my two women in this show, or the two women in the show, are both strongly emphasizing, and there's a dancer piece, which of course speaks to my heart. So congratulations, Megan. This is your second show?
Yeah.
There? Yeah.
And the portrait show last year.
Nice. Had you shown other places before?
I've been at Riversea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I had a piece in there.
Nice.
Yeah.
and you're sticking around.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
I love this town.
I like that commitment.
Yeah.
Right, Mariah?
Yeah.
My other guest has been here a lot longer, I suspect. And we like when new creative people come to town and make that commitment. So congratulations on the show.
Thank you.
And we'll see. We'll look forward to seeing the upcoming work as well.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
We're going to let Megan go. And I'm going to present, as I mentioned, Mariah Manners, whom many folks here in town are familiar with. Mariah, you've been here how long?
I've been here, I was born here, and I've been here most of my life. Am I on the radio?
You're on the radio.
Okay.
Because I'm making faces because... How could I have missed that?
I don't know.
I didn't know you were born here.
Yes, I was born here in the 70s. And then I lived elsewhere. I lived in California for a few years in Missouri and Portland. And then I moved back in 97. And I was only supposed to be here for a couple years. And so you know how that works, Kat.
Yeah.
I was talking to Megan. I'm like, you know, it's such an easy place to get stuck. And it's, being stuck can be really amazing. And being stuck feels like being stuck sometimes. So Estuary, I think, is a really great place to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you've, I think, I don't know if that was the first thing of mm-hmm. yours that I got involved in was the knitted cigarettes.
Yes, the knitted cigarettes, yes.
The knitted cigarettes.
Yeah.
How many of those did you do?
I made 365. That was a year-long project. I think maybe that was the last time I was on the show. So that was like...
That's a while ago.
A while ago.
Yeah.
Over a decade, probably. And so I just got out of art school, and I had all these like things in my life, and smoking just had to leave. And yay, right?
Yahoo!
That lasted for 3 years. And then...
Oops.
And then, you know, it's been 10 years now. But, so the Knitted Cigarette Project was pretty amazing. And, I was really happy I did that one.
So you went to art school.
I went to art school.
Had you, now that I know you were born here, was that Astoria? Or Warrenton?
I left when I was like 11 or 10.
Okay.
And then I came back when I was in my mid-20s.
I'm just wondering whether you got your artistic... obviously, that comes from within you, but the encouragement or the support or the atmosphere, whether that happened here or somewhere else.
It happened here. My grandfather is an artist, and my dad's an artist, and my mother and my brother and my grandmother. My grandmother is a direct influence in this work I'm doing now. She was a quilter. I'm going to start crying because she was like the best thing in my life.
Oh, wow. And she's gone now.
She passed, I don't know the year. It's been a while.
Yeah.
But I was just talking to my brother about her yesterday and how special she was in our life. And the great thing, I mean, I don't know if it's the great thing, but my grandmother and I, we had so much in common. She worked at the middle school library for like 20 years. Yeah. She did exactly what I'm doing now I've been doing my job for 16 years at the college library. So it's...
And were you trained in library work?
No, I just happened to work there. And then, yeah.
And you got into it and you're still there.
And I'm super organized and that helps.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. And there's some other fabulous people working there.
Yes, definitely. Yes.
Okay. So you came from a family of artists.
Yeah.
And then you decided... to actually try to make a go of it?
No, I don't think I actually ever tried to make a go of it because I think you have to be really motivated to do that. And I don't have a ton of motivation for things besides like going to the beach and going on a walk and eating popcorn and drinking a beer with my friends.
Yeah, but you're organized, so you must put it all together.
There's some aspects of my public life that are organized,
I see.
And if you're my friend, you know otherwise.
Yes.
But,
the reality. So tell us about this show. First of all, it's going to be an AVA pop-up. Tell folks where.
Okay. So actually, there's two different AVA areas. There's the Artist Studios in Residence, which is down on the water near
11th
Inferno. Street. Yeah, so it's up above. And they have a new actual gallery, ground level gallery, which is behind the food carts on 11th and Duane.
Okay.
And so I have that for the month of November. And I have it with my really good friend, Jim Hunter. He is the other artist that's going to be in this show. Nobody knows him because he lives in Portland. He So I'll just start from the beginning. So Becca called me to see if I wanted to do a show, and I had been working on this project over the summer, and this project is getting my old paintings out of my basement and do what the heck with them. So I'm like, I don't want to throw them in the garbage, which I really kind of wanted to do, and I don't know what I'm going to do with them. So I'm like, I'm just going to cut them up. So I cut up all my, I cut out all the canvases out of their, you know, stretcher bars, and I just started cutting them up, and I had all these old sketchbooks with these. And the other great thing about the Imogen Portrait Gallery thing going on is, like, this whole show is old portraits. Me and my friend Jim Hunter, all of his are portraits. So it just was just, I know, it's so, I love it so much.
That's fantastic. We didn't know that when we put this together. So what did you do after you cut up all these canvases?
Okay, so I cut up all these canvases, and I ripped up all these pages out of my
sketchbooks.
And I just started playing around with, you know, you have the black and white. There's this really great thing at the High Desert Museum in Bend, Oregon. And there's this amazing exhibit where they have this life-size black and white portrait of this man. And it's probably from like the 50s, could be earlier. I have no idea. And in the background, it's all flat against the wall. And in the background is this beautiful landscape. And the beautiful landscape is all these different colors, and it's all very painterly. And then you have this huge black and white photograph of this man on a horse. And it's like, it was such a striking thing. And so that was kind of a direct influence of these like black and white drawings with the bright colors of my paintings that are just cut up bits that are kind of abstract. So, and they're all sewn together because gluing got to be kind of a mess and warped, and I had to throw some things away. Yeah. And I was just like, screw it, I'll just start sewing. So I sew through canvas by hand.
Yes.
And that's really hard.
Yes.
And I didn't have the right tools. And so I just did whatever I could around my house. So, yeah.
And so you created what with them? Just abstract quilts, kind of?
They're mostly portraits, drawings. There's some weird stuff I did with the eyes. Like, I would harvest eyes from one portrait and glue them onto another, or
that
sew them onto
great.
Another.
Yeah.
Yeah, they turned out really neat.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, they're mostly portraits with just abstract backgrounds. There's a lot of fabric involved, bright floral patterns and... so I sewed onto fabric, canvas onto fabric, and paper onto canvas, and paper onto paper. So it was mostly a lot about process and like rolling around on my living room floor because that's where it all worked. And like,
well, I'm also impressed that you got to clean out all your old stuff and create something new.
It made me
very inviting
happy.
You out to Brown's Meat to see what you can do in my house. Mariah Manners with the AVA pop-up show again opening tomorrow night during Astoria Art Walk, 11th and Duane. You'll see it when you get there, along with her friend and portrait artist, this time at least, Jim Hunter from Portland. Super, Mariah.
Yay,
thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm going to read off some of the other stuff that's going on, and maybe you'll ask my next guests to come on in. So at the Art Walk tomorrow night, we have the Paul Polson Studio Gallery, 110th Street. And Strictly Strata. McVarish Gallery is showing 10 by 10, a collection of miniature paintings by 10 artists. And the AVA, that's Mariah's. And then the Artist in Residence is Luca Etienne Shows. And then Astoria Vintage Hardware is featuring Long Beach Peninsula graphic designer and artist Susan Spence with her baskets. She does a gorgeous job on that. And we have Forsythia is featuring Zen Stones by artist Connie Ford. Sea Gypsy Gifts is Andrea Traphagen's bright, bold, and colorful new acrylic paintings. Oscar DeMasi has his own studio and gallery right in the same area with the AVA Gallery. It's 395 11th. And then Luminary Gallery is featuring wooden topographical maps by the Wood Chart Company. Riversea Gallery is featuring our good friends. Robert Paulman has Places We Go, Inside and Out, Haunts Around Astoria in Oil Paintings and Drawings. And also, there it is. Noel Thomas is showing watercolors in the alcove. Judith Altrude is going to be there, too, with her jewelry trunk show. Oh, gorgeous stuff. Temple Gallery is featuring Ed Peterson. He's back from a show, from a trip, and he's got some more of his fabulous paintings. Let's see. Lucy's Books is featuring Crystal Nair, Seaside mixed media artist, Bridge and Tunnel Bottle Shop and Tap Room, Blaine Verley from Astoria and Creations has stuff going on all the time. And my next guest should be here. Oops, they're supposed to be sitting in their chairs right now, but they didn't bring me any music. I guess they didn't get the message, so I'm just going to bring them right on because this show is so crowded. It's better. Do you have any a cappella tunes? You want to sing us a quick a cappella tune?
All right, Carol.
Actually, that was John Broderick and Jay Speakman, two of our fabulous, esteemed Fisher Poets Gathering poets. Fisher Gathering poets? Anyway, they are here not so much for their own poetry, if I'm correct, but because they are bringing a very special person who has just come out with a new book. So why don't you tell us about Clem Stark's new book? Is it Cathedrals and Parking Lots? Is that what it's called?
Cathedrals and Parking Lots, yeah. It's an anthology of all of Clem's work over his long career of, as the somebody said about him, plain-spoken and clear-thinking and lean poetry. It's so accessible and so fun to listen to. He was the true inspiration for the Fisher Poets Gathering.
How is that? You mentioned that, but how?
Yeah, I know people often think it's the Cowboy Poetry Gathering, which is certainly inspiring. But it was some years ago when I was teaching high school, and I took some students down to Linfield College for a creative writing workshop offered by Barbara Drake and some others down there. And Clem Stark was the featured speaker, and he read poetry about work that I'd never heard before. And I was just so excited. I went down, visited with him, met him there, and when the Fisher Poets Gathering, we had the idea, it came to fruition within a couple of years of that moment, and I thought, gee, I wonder if Clem would join us. I was too nervous to call him. But turns out he was a merchant marine for some period of time. So you know what? He qualifies.
Absolutely. And, there you go.
He's been.
We're open-minded in this festival.
Yeah. So it's his writing about work. We called it in those days occupational poetry. That really inspired the idea of the Fisher Poetry Gathering, writing about the work of commercial fishing.
Makes me think about Studs Terkel and his capturing the lives of all these different working people, but Clem's writing about his own life.
Yes, yeah.
Now, where this is happening Friday the 16th, that's a week from tonight, 7 p.m., is it Tolavana Hall?
Tolavana Arts Hall, yeah, Tolavana Hall, I call it.
Right.
It's the south end of Cannon Beach on the... I don't have an address, but you'll find it.
That's okay, because it's the Tolavana Arts Colony, which is sponsoring it or putting it on, and you can check their website, Tolavana Arts Colony, and thanks to Andrew for getting in touch. Jay, do you have an affinity for Clem Stark's work as well?
Oh, I do. Yes. Actually, we've become great friends. Actually, the three of us have had the occasion to make a couple of CDs with Clem.
Oh.
And he's done really well with the CDs. He travels. He does a lot of readings. In fact, he just got back from Paris, where he's done some readings with two other American poets. And we have a lot in common because though he's older than I, I also was a merchant seaman in my youth briefly and have been at sea, and so I can relate to a lot of his poetry. And I've also worked as a carpenter, and he's a very experienced carpenter as well. So I think what he brings to his work is so accessible for somebody like me. I just find it a lot of fun being around him, and he is very plain spoken. He knows what he's talking about, and he chooses his words very carefully. So,
and again, where does he live now?
He lives in Dallas, or outside of Dallas, on about
Texas,
40 acres.
But Dallas,
Oregon.
Thank you. I'm thinking, whoa, you didn't find
him. No,
okay.
The other
so
Dallas.
He's an Oregonian. Part of it. And he does come to Fisher Poets.
Yeah, he's come for a number of years. He, at first, was a little hesitant, I think. I remember when he first showed up, and he thought, well, guys, you know, I've never fished. But as John explained, he's been to sea. He's been across the big water. You know, he's been out there and worked on deck, and he knows what it's like. And so I think what he brings to the gathering is real legitimacy. Doesn't matter what you're doing out there. If you're on the water and you're making a living and putting your life on the line, I think that qualifies you, really.
Yeah, I would think there would be a lot of experiences that go across the whole life, that beyond the fishing, just being out there in the rough and ready, some of the stuff that we hear. Any particular, do you know much about the new book, The Cathedrals and Parking Lots? I like that.
Well, it includes some stuff that hasn't been published yet. So I'm looking forward to having my own copy. He just, Jay mentioned Paris. Well, you wouldn't believe the tour he went on, reading with a couple of his friends through European capitals after spending 3 weeks teaching at American University in Vienna. So
nice.
He's fresh back from that, and we're looking forward to his stories.
I'm thinking that will be interesting, too. And I wonder, since I'm assuming that the three artists were all presenting in English?
Yeah, they would go to English bookstores in those capitals
forth. Yeah,
so whether they were at Shakespeare and Company in Paris or not, I'm not sure, but they had quite a number of places booked.
That'll be some good stories. And again, this is a week from tonight, 7 p.m., Tolovana Hall. And if you're not familiar, if you're listening to this show going, what is she talking about, Fisher Poets Gathering? She's said it three times, five times already. We don't know what she's talking about. Can you... I know this is impossible. I'm holding my finger. Can you, in 5 inches, give somebody who may be listening, streaming, and needs to hear about it so they can come next year?
Well, at the last weekend in February here in Astoria, for over 20 years, we've celebrated the commercial fishing industry in music and song and poetry.
And prose.
And prose, yeah, indeed. And storytelling.
Storytelling,
We have a number of workshops. It's
It's
grown into a terrific celebration. We include people from both coasts, east and west, the Gulf Coasts, sometimes even England, many venues in downtown Astoria. It's just
and
great
some
fun.
Of the workshops are about the water, about the river, about the environment. It's gotten much bigger and deeper, and it's such an inspiring and enjoyable weekend. All these people coming together from everywhere and just loving one another and sharing that joy.
And Carol, for those people that haven't been here, we should explain that this doesn't all happen in one place on one stage. It
has to
be qualified.
It takes over the town of Astoria.
It started on one stage at the Wet Dog Cafe right down on the river, and now has grown to 7 separate stages with sound and light and MCs.
Right.
And to try and get your mind around that, these are usually pretty small venues. I mean, they range anywhere from 50, 60 people on up to about 400 or over 400 if we count the Liberty Theater.
Liberty's 650.
So it's very unusual in that respect, because to do this simultaneously 2 nights in a row gives the presenters a chance, each of them, to be on stage at least, once, twice, or possibly even 3 times. It's just a question of how many people we have, but it's a scheduling nightmare for...
Can't even imagine.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. Then the lovely part for the audience is that if you find someone you adore, you can follow them around, or you can stay in one spot and just let the whole show come past you and see how many presenters do you ish?
Oh, we had 100 performers last year.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. 100 performers. It's magnificent. So, what's the website for Fisher Poets?
Simply fisherpoets.org.
That's it.
If you do a little search, you'll find us.
And do plan on it. The town swells. So, get yourself a place to stay and come and see us then. But before that, come this Friday night to Tullavanna, by the way. Is the southern part of Cannon Beach. It's not that far away.
One brief word about that performance in case people don't understand what our part is in it. John and I also musicians on our own. We have a little duo of our own, but we are creating sound behind Clem, very subtle sort of soundscape that we do with instruments, and we try and create a sort of a mood for his words.
Have you done this before for other people?
Not for others, but we have for Clem. This would be our 8th performance around the Northwest. We've been all over with Clem doing this.
Right. Nice.
People seem to enjoy it. And
I didn't realize that. I'm glad you said this because I was thinking that you were like the opening act because Jay and John and John and Jay are two wonderful musicians, wordsmiths, with a lot of good stories and two great senses of humor. They're sounding pretty serious today, but get them on the sideline. You'll know what I mean. And so this will be a whole interesting part in itself, seeing another aspect of your talent. So thank you so much for coming in. And whoever's idea it was to bring Clem Stark to Cannon Beach, Tullavanna Hall, thank you to you guys and to Tullavanna Arts Colony, which presents lots of other kinds of stuff. You should check them out.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Carol.
Okay. I want to play a piece for you, and I'm hoping I've got one more guest. We'll find out. Right now, today is November 9th, 2018. 80 years ago today was Kristallnacht, and it was a horrific event. And one of the big events that started the Holocaust.
I worked with Katya at the factory. She always did her job okay as far as I could see. Lunchtime one day she got nostalgic for her youth, growing up in wartime under a different truth. She told me when I was a girl I loved a soldier in the SS. They only pick the strongest ones, the healthiest, the best. They weren't monsters, they were like your green berets. We never wanted to kill Jews, we just wanted them away. And you know we gave them lots of time until Kristallnacht sealed their fate. We only wanted them to emigrate. We'll give each Californian a plastic picture card. If you don't have your papers, kid, well, life is hard. The past laws have arrived here in America at last. You used to get a meal in school, but that's the past. Just take your chances in the streets, but do it out of sight. We know you'll get along until your crystal night. Your teacher has to turn you in. She doesn't really hate. We only wanted you to emigrate. Kristallnacht is coming, little Mexican child. The night of breaking glass, the night of running wild. Run sickin' in the streets until Kristallnacht seals your fate. We only wanted you to emigrate. Until we send the troopers in, we'll give you lots of time to get your life in order and forsake your little crime. You're better off in Mexico, although you grew up here. And if your folks won't take you back, there's this to fear. Alone and in an alley, your breaking glass will come. It won't get in the papers if we do it one by one. It's all about the bottom line. It isn't really hate. We only wanted you to emigrate. Kristallnacht is coming, Salvadoran child. The night of breaking glass, the night of running wild. Run sickin' in the streets until Kristallnacht seals your fate. We only wanted you to emigrate. Kristallnacht is coming, Guatemalan child. The night of breaking glass, the night of running wild. Run sickin' in the streets until Kristallnacht seals your fate. We only wanted you to emigrate. We only wanted you to emigrate.
That's Bob Franke. Kristallnacht is coming. And of course, Sunday, observed Monday as well, is Armistice Day. But I'm going to let you know what else is happening here on the weekend.
War makes war. It won't bring peace. It just makes more without cease.
Tonight, Astoria High School, Friday and Saturday, 7 o'clock, Oscar Wilde's The Importance of Being Earnest, very well done. The Riverbend Players at the North County Recreation District, Friday and Saturday at 7 and Sunday at 2. It's a Wonderful Life. Seaside High School, Friday and Saturday at 7, Alter Egos. Peninsula Players at the River City Playhouse in Ilwaco, Friday and Saturday at 7, Sunday at 2 with Black Comedy and The Sun Also Rises. Columbia Theater in Longview, Friday and Saturday, 7:30, Dream Girls. Tomorrow, Astoria Art Walk, as we said, Napton Cove is celebrating local history. The Liberty Once in a Blue Moon Gala. It starts at 4:30, libertyastoria.org. You can still get tickets, I think. Columbia Pacific Heritage Museum at 4 is the Chinook Indian Nation Art Auction and Oyster Fry. In the Anita Building, which is 1312 Commercials. At 7 o'clock, the band's Golden Retriever and And on Thursday is the Church of Film, which sounds fantastic. Check that out. And going back to Saturday, Grace Church has Harvest and Holiday Bazaar from 10 to 2. And that is 1545 Franklin. And then Sunday morning from 11 to 1, Terry Remington and Kitty Pano have a show opening, which always wonderful artwork. Peninsula Performing Arts Center, Saturday night, Silver Lake 66, the Sou'wester, Syrinx Effect, and the Hoffman, the RJ Quartet. And Kala on Sunday, Suntag Shogun, and Fort George, Midas Diggs, and it's time for Left, Right, and Center. Thanks for listening, folks. Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, KTCB, Tillamook, coastradio.org, wherever you are.